Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. Nice sunshiny day. A little bit of Winnie the Pooh's blustery day, I guess, out there. But we've been there before, and we'll get through that. Good to see the Williams family with us this morning with their newest member. Brings great joy to all of us. I'd like to direct your attention this morning to Deuteronomy chapter 4, and I might say before I read this that I kind of got off teleprompter last week and got to talking about some things with the Pope and that he had said, and I said we'll talk about that this Sunday. I've researched that, and he's kind of walked that back a little bit, and so I'm going to still talk about it, but I need to make sure that I've got all of the facts straight, and I don't want to misrepresent anybody, but we are going to represent God's Word, so we'll look forward to that in the future. But I direct your attention to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Children of Israel are being reminded of God and His goodness to them, and especially here of His Word and the importance of it. Moses says, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God your fathers is giving you. Now, remember that what happened in the Old Testament, what happened with Moses and the children of Israel, and they're coming out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt, and going to their promised land that was promised to their forefathers and to them also as being heirs of that land. Is that all of that is a type of what we have in Christ. And God's Word being given to us in the form of the Word made flesh, Jesus of Nazareth, and in the form of the words that we have preserved for us in this blessed book we call the Bible. We are pilgrims as well, as we talked about last week. We are traveling to a land that has been promised to us, the land of heaven. And so we need to realize that a lot of what Moses is saying to the children of Israel here applies to us. They are the type, we are the antitype, we're what's really in consideration of the fulfillment of all of these things. And especially then, as God had given the children of Israel His Word, He's given us His Word, and we are to respect it, revere it, just as they are being told here to do. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. If you add to it or take away from it, you modify what God has given us, then you're no longer doing God's Word. Verse 3. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. For the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. Now, do you remember that? And you might say, why would Moses remind them of Baal Peor? Why wouldn't Moses remind them of the plagues in Egypt and how that they were devastating to the Egyptians, but eventually it led to the children of Israel being delivered? Why wouldn't he remind them of how they had been taken across the Red Sea on dry land and how that Pharaoh's army was destroyed when they tried to follow them? All of the things that God had done for them, and as you think of all of this, and then you say, now wait a minute, this is a different day and time when we're here in Deuteronomy. This is a different generation. This generation didn't see those things. That generation died in the wilderness. This generation did see what happened at Baal Peor. You remember that Baal was, or that Balaam was commissioned by King Balak to curse the children of Israel. And Balaam said, well, I can only say what God tells me to say. And Balak agreed to that, and so three times Balaam blessed the children of Israel. The very next chapter talks about this incident here. What happened at Baal of Peor was that the children of Israel, although they were God's children, they committed adultery. They committed fornication with the Moabites. That led to them not only having sexual relations with them, but it also led to them, it says, bowing down to the Moabite gods. Were their hearts in that? I doubt it. They still consider themselves the children of God. What had they done? They had compromised what God had given them, and especially this relationship that God had given them, this fellowship that they had with God. They had compromised that physically and spiritually. And that's what he is talking about here when he says, do not add to the word and don't take away from it. Children of Israel, their history is full of times that they compromised their fellowship with God. I don't know if they ever really considered themselves to have forsaken God and turned their back on God. They just thought that they could have fellowship with God and sin at the same time. And this incident at Baal Peor was to remind them that God wasn't going to have any of that. God destroyed those who were committing this fornication, both spiritually and physically. Your eyes saw that, he says. Let that be a reminder to you not to add to or take away from God's word. But you who held fast to the Lord, your God, are alive today, every one of you. Surely, I have taught you statutes and judgments just as the Lord my God commanded me. You should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. I have told you exactly what God told me, like Dwayne read for us today from 1 Corinthians. When Paul told the Corinthians, he says, I'm telling you what Jesus told me. Therefore, be careful to observe them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon him. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. As we have briefly discussed here in this reading, there are many things that we can launch from this passage and teach great truths of God's word. But the one thing that jumped out to me as I was reading it this week was, lest you forget. This is a week that we've been told to remember to do a lot of things. Remember to vote. Remember to vote. Remember to turn your clocks back. Yeah, there's a lot of things that we need to be reminded of from time to time, but there is nothing more important that we remember than that we remember Almighty God and the blessed gift of His Word, and that we know what is written there, and that we believe what is written there, we trust it, we obey it, we remember what He would have us to do. And so this morning, I want to talk about don't forget. And don't forget to take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, he said in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. Don't forget. Those words are somewhat repeated to the evangelist Timothy by Paul in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. He says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. What's he saying? He says, think about yourself, Timothy. Think about the doctrine of Christ. Compare you to Christ's doctrine. Continue in these things. Continuing being true to yourself and true to God's word. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. When you're teaching, Timothy, you remember what God said. You teach what God said. And don't forget that what you're teaching applies to you. And when you see you need to repent, you repent. And you make things right with God. Don't forget what you have learned. In verse 9, I remind you, he says, take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Don't forget what you have learned. Don't forget what I'm teaching you, Moses would say. Don't forget the examples of discipline that God has demonstrated before you. Don't forget these things, lest they depart from you. In Proverbs 4 and verse 5, we're told, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Interesting, isn't it? Get these things. Get wisdom, get understanding, and once you've got them, don't forget them. Don't forget God's word that has led you in wisdom and understanding. Do not turn away from the words of my mouth, and that's the mouth of God. Jude, verse 17 says, you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ spoke those things that they heard from the Lord Himself and by the direction of the Holy Spirit. Don't forget how blessed these words are. Don't forget to teach your children and your grandchildren, he said in verse 9. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from their heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and grandchildren. Because they haven't seen what you saw. They haven't heard what you heard yet. They will not hear them unless you teach them. In Psalm 78, in the first 7 verses, it says, give ear, O my people, to the law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. Telling the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. We will do what we have heard from our fathers, and we will teach these to our children, and they will teach them to their children, that they may share in the blessed hope of God and keep His commandments. Psalm 103, verses 17 and 18 says, "The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him." The word mercy is such a beautiful word. God's word convicts us of our sins, but God's word encourages us to repent, to turn from them, and to live to the glory of God by keeping His words. Judgment would require a guilty sentence. Mercy says, let's forget about it. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, but it's not unconditional. There are conditions to God granting mercy. It is on those who fear Him. It is on those who revere Him. It is on those who will humble themselves before God, admit that they are wrong, and do what He has written. And His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. It's not remember His commandments for the sake of knowledge and academic purposes, but is to remember His commandments to do them, to humble us, that we might perform His will and glorify His name by so doing. We must not forget to trust God in times of anguish. These are troublesome times. People are troubled about many things. Troubled about what's going to happen in the election and all of those types of things. What's going to happen after that? And there's a lot of things as you consider what all could happen that you can be troubled about. But we must not forget who our trust is in. Psalm 77, verses 10 through 13 reads, "I said in my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High." Here's someone who is in the midst of trouble. They are in anguish. But he says, in the midst of my anguish, I'm going to remember the right hand of God. What's he talking about? Well, the right hand is the powerful hand, the power of God, the many demonstrations of God to deliver people who were in trouble. Nothing is impossible with God. God rules in the kingdoms of men. We must never forget that. We must never forget who our King is. "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God?" That's what Moses was reflecting on in our reading in Deuteronomy. Who is so great a God as our God? And that will be demonstrated if we continue to remember His words and do His will. But in the midst of our anguish, in the midst of our trouble, don't forget God and how great He is. Don't forget where you are going. Don't forget His promises. Psalm 20 in verse 7 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses. The chariots and the horses were the war implements of their time. Some trust in government and armies. But we will remember the name of the Lord, our God. We will remember who the real authority is and who the real power is. We will not trust in presidents or armies. We will trust in God. And we will remember to hold our presidents and our armies and all world leaders before God, that He would grant them wisdom, that peace might continue on earth, and that we might live in peace. But if not, we will continue to remember that God is our Lord, our authority, and we will not forsake Him. Don't forget the destruction of those who forgot God. That's what Moses reminded them of at Baal Peor. In Job 8, in verses 11 through 13, he says, can a papyrus grow up without a marsh? You know, I was told once that your grass, 98% of grass is water. That's impressive. Now, it seems like it takes a little while for our grass to show that it's stressed and turned brown. But papyrus plant is a plant that grows in water. And if the marsh dries up, the papyrus plant lets you know right away that it doesn't have what it needs to sustain life. Can reeds flourish without water? While it is yet green and not cut down, it withers before any other plant. So are the paths of all who forget God. And the hope of the hypocrite shall perish. Just as the papyrus and the reed cannot live without water, what Job is telling us here is that we cannot live without the waters of life, the Word of God. We cannot be spiritually alive without His Word nourishing us and keeping us. We must remember that and always be sure that we are well watered with God's Word. Psalm 9 and verse 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. The prophet said that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, whether they never knew or whether they forgot what God says, whether they compromise what God says. My people are destroyed. The wicked will be turned to... Well, we didn't think we were so wicked. We considered ourselves pretty good moral people. We believed in God. Did you add to or take away from God's Word? Did you believe in God and also do things that God says you shall not do these things? That's the definition of wicked in God's eyes. Psalm 50 and verse 22, now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. If we forget God, God will tear us in pieces, he says. And no one will deliver you. He's the only one who could deliver you. But you forgot God. If we forget God, mercy will not be granted. We must remember Him and turn to Him. We must not forget to repent. To the church at Ephesus, Jesus wrote, remember, therefore, from which you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. It's good that we are reminded of the seriousness of doing the will of God as He has revealed it in His Word. It's good that we are convicted of our sins by His Word, for we're given the opportunity then to turn from our sins and to walk in His pathway of righteousness. Repent. You know, once you're reminded of your sin, it doesn't do you any good if you continue in your sin. To acknowledge that you're a sinner without turning from your sin is not going to save you. Remember and repent and do the first works. Very similar to that, he wrote to the church at Sardis, "These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead." That's kind of like what happened there at Baal Peor. The Israelites had a name that they were alive, that they were the children of Israel, but they were dead. They were separated from God because of their sin, their compromises, their physical and spiritual adultery. You have a name that you're alive. You say that you're a Christian, but you are dead. You're separated from God because you don't know or you're not remembering what God has said in His Word. You're not keeping yourself pure. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your work perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you've received and heard. Remember what you heard. Remember what the Word of God says. I mean, what is being assumed here is what they have heard, that they are being told to be reminded of, is that they have heard the pure Word of God. Not everybody has heard that, but those who have heard it, those who have heard the truth, need to remember it and meditate on it. Hold fast to what you have heard. Hold fast to truth and repent. If you remember and you hold fast to God's Word, it's going to convict you. And it's going to correct you. And it's going to lead you in the path of righteousness. Let it correct you. Let it humble you, that you can be all that God created you to be. Therefore, if you will not watch, if you will not remember, if you will not continue in God's Word, I will come to you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I come upon you. You know, thieves don't come to give you things. Thieves don't come for your good. They come for your harm. And that's what he's talking about here. I'm not going to be merciful. If you don't remember, if you don't repent, if you don't continue in what I have lovingly revealed to you, there's a terrible price to pay. He doesn't want that for any of us. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Don't forget. Don't forget to keep yourself diligently before God. Proverbs 3 and verse 1, again, says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments." Remember them and keep them. Don't remember them and say, "I forgot that that was really a sin." You know, it's so commonly practiced by people today that it didn't seem to me like it was such a big sin, but Remember God's word and keep His commandments. Don't try to justify your sin. Humble yourself before God. Repent. Keep these words diligently. Keep what you have learned from God's word. Teach your children. Teach your grandchildren. Trust God in times of anguish. And don't forget that destruction comes on those who forget God. Don't be one of those. Remember Him. Honor Him. Love Him. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Christ, don't you remember that Jesus said, if you do not believe me, you will die in your sins. Do you want to die in your sins? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? There's something to do about that. It's not just acknowledge that He is, it is demonstrate that you believe that. For unless you repent, you will perish. Luke chapter 3 and verse 5. If you will confess Him before men, He will confess you before His Father who is in heaven. Have you done that? Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Have you done that? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Been baptized into Christ, into His body of the saved, the church? To walk in newness of life with Him? To walk the pathway of righteousness to His praise and to His glory? You know that. Have you done that? Are you ready to do that? Everything's ready for you. We're ready to assist you. If you're here today and you're a child of God, and there's things in God's Word that you forgot that it reproved you of, and you need to repent, you need to make things right, James tells us to confess our faults to one another, pray for one another. The effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. As you're subject to the invitation this morning in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?